Welcome back to another episode of our Movie Business Podcast series, where we look for making sense of the current trends in the film and television industry. My name is Ilan Haimov, and I'm a partner and the department head of the Profit Participation Group at GHJ. In this podcast episode, I'm joined by Jason Squire, Professor Emeritus of the UC School of Cinematic Arts, as well as the editor of the Movie Business Book, Fourth Edition, to discuss with our guest, Ivar Kombrink of Salem Partners, the current trends with film and television M&A. Jason will introduce Ivar and get us going with our discussion. Jason, why don't you take it from here?
Thanks, Ilan. Ivar Kombrink is managing director at Salem Partners, a top boutique investment bank. He was a lead executive on M&A transactions, including Gravitas Ventures and Vertical Entertainment, and raised money for software and technology companies, including Premier Digital, Rightline, and Meta Software. Earlier, he was a lead executive on more than $7 billion in cutting-edge cross-border financing for production, marketing, and distribution, and library acquisitions with counterparties, including Disney, Marvel, Warner Brothers, Universal, and many independents. His track record of transactions on over 100 films includes Pirates of the Caribbean 2 and 3, Harry Potter 2, Iron Man 2, Thor, The Bourne Ultimatum, and Jurassic World. He's a graduate of the USC School of Cinematic Arts, where, I'm proud to say, he was my student. Welcome, Ivar.
Thank you for having me. It's a real pleasure.
Well, let's begin by describing the political and business climate for mergers and acquisitions in entertainment, and the related services that Salem Partners provides for clients in the industry.
Yeah, let me first maybe give you a little bit of background on Salem Partners. We're a boutique investment bank. We cover three industry verticals, which include real estate, life sciences, and then media, entertainment, and technology. My entire focus is within that media and entertainment and technology vertical, which is also my personal background, as you just mentioned. Of the typical things that investment bankers do, which is M&A advisory, fundraising, and then in addition to that, which is somewhat unique, we're also one of the maybe top one or two valuation experts when it comes to entertainment assets. On our valuations, we look at film and television libraries, we look at music catalogs, profit participations, which is how I know Ilan, and we value them for various different purposes. This could be for lenders that would want to put up a loan against a film and television library, as an example. It could be for investors that funds that need to report to their LPs what their investments are worth. It could be for internal reporting or buy side work, where somebody is looking at an opportunity and they need some outside expertise. What certain entertainment assets may be worth. And then last but not least, I mean, we've also worked with talent who may want to know what their backends across their various projects are worth or for estate planning purposes.
We're evaluating a film library. What are the tools that you bring?
Yeah, I mean, in general, I would say that almost every single entertainment asset is somewhat unique. We look at the individual characteristics of that project. We figure out with what the historical performance looks like. We have a pretty comprehensive database, as you can imagine, of historical performance across the industry. And we may look at comparable projects, and then we essentially, really on a window by window and exploitation method by exploitation method, we may come up with a forecast what the cash flow stream could look like, what the costs are that are associated with exploiting a piece of content. And at that point, it turns into pretty much a mathematical exercise.
In terms of the business climate, there are a couple of acquisitions in the wind recently, big and small. How does it feel these days?
As investment bankers, we provide M&A advisory work. We cover pretty much the entire spectrum of the industry on that front. So we advise companies that want to sell themselves or entrepreneurs that want to sell their companies. We've done probably a significant portion of the film and television libraries that have been sold over the last couple of decades. Salem was the sell side advisor on those. And we've sold profit participations.
Var, let me jump in for a second. I just wanted to go a little further into the mindset of what's going on right now with those buyers and sellers right now as we are, you know, in our second year of COVID and the continued streaming wars and everything else that's going on around us with the changes in the film and television industry. What's going through the minds of that potential buyer and seller right now? What are they excited about? Perhaps what are they worried about? Are they trying to hurry up and get a transaction completed now? Are they looking to perhaps slow down and not necessarily pursue M&A transactions right now? Anything that you can share in terms of the psyche right now, what's going on in the buyer and seller's mind that you can see?
I mean, first, just taking a step back, I would say one of the biggest considerations right now, at least for a lot of sellers, is potential tax changes that could be on the horizon. If you sell your business or your assets today, you definitely know what kind of taxes you're going to face. That could change pretty fundamentally in the next couple of months or early next year, depending on how quickly some of those bills get moved forward. And I mean, for some people, those tax consequences could be significant. So I wouldn't be surprised if a lot of entrepreneurs that are looking to sell their company today, as well as maybe talent across the entertainment industry that is looking to sell their profit participations, taxes are probably a big consideration for them. Setting that aside, I would take more of a holistic view at the industry. And if you ask me, the pandemic really just accelerated a lot of trends that have been happening probably for the last decade. I hate to break it to people, but the digital consumption of content is here to stay. The internet is not just a trend that's going to go away. And consumer behavior, I think, is changing forever. And the entertainment industry, interestingly enough, in my opinion, was never really that good at adapting to change. Especially the bigger players have a tendency to stick to their established business models and just try to plow ahead with how they've been running their business in some instances for 100 years. And what this kind of static approach does is it creates opportunities for smaller players. And these opportunities ultimately, like smart people that have new ideas how to do things within larger organizations, they leave those companies, they start their own businesses. Some of them fail, sadly, but given kind of the changing landscape, I think there's more and more opportunities for them to actually succeed by doing something slightly different, doing something better than the big players, and growing really interesting and in some instances now very sizable companies. And I see that across the entire landscape of the entertainment industry. It's not only production companies and distribution businesses, it's also a lot of the, I like to call it the picks and shovels businesses, which are a lot less glamorous, but at the end of the day, you do need them to either make your movies or in TV shows, or to get them sold, or to deliver them to all the different counterparties. All these kind of services and technologies that flow into that. If you go back 20 to 30 years, almost every part of the entertainment industry has always been dominated by 900 pound gorillas in the 90s and early aughts. Digital has opened up cracks in these kind of behemoths where smart companies got started. And at this point, some of them are probably more profitable than the old incumbent and are now starting to be 900 pound gorillas in their own right, which I think is great. I think change is always good for the industry. And it's that applies really across everything. And it's the coming together of different trends. Productions used to be really, especially larger productions, the major studios just dominated that. And now that they are all focused on their own streaming services, there is more of an opportunity today for independent production than I would say there was 15, 20 years ago. And I know that a lot of producers always bemoan that, well, in the old days, they were able to keep their profit participations and the upside that a lot of film producers always talk about. But I think the reality is that the film industry has just changed more into the television industry. And the irony is that successful producers that actually had breakout successes and had big back ends, the joke is those guys had mansions around the world. The successful TV producers had private planes to visit those mansions around the world. Because one is ultimately very much a lottery ticket buying business, because you're really betting on success and failure of individual projects. And the other one is ultimately a real business that is about margins and is just a lot more consistent. And because of that, ultimately actually has enterprise value.
Off to that, we are seeing a significant change in terms of digital distribution here in the United States. I'm just wondering what is next for example, Europe. As more and more streaming services are beginning to, you know, migrate over there from here to compete with both Amazon and Netflix. I'm wondering if that could have an impact on some of the smaller players, the smaller sub-distributors, the smaller television stations. We are just about to see in Europe what happened here in the United States in terms of consolidation. So I'm wondering if you have an opinion about that specifically.
It certainly has already started. If you look outside the US, a lot of the trends that we've been seeing now for the last 10 years are only now starting to really gain momentum internationally. I think some of that is driven by the larger streaming services going global, which I think is driving a lot of local media companies, like the US companies were forced to come up with their own direct-to-consumer offerings. The other trend that is really, really interesting, in my opinion, on that front is as the Disneys and Warners and Universals and Paramounts of the world are focusing on their own direct-to-consumer services, which in some instances right now are still US focused. In some other instances, they're definitely further along towards making them global offerings. I think the writing is on the wall that they will all try to probably be global offerings. And what that means is that a lot of local distributors or local TV companies, TV was always where the money was ultimately actually coming from, but a lot of the local TV networks and conglomerates are realizing that that US source of big tentpole pictures and high profile drama series is suddenly going away because Warner Brothers is putting their stuff on HBO Max, Disney is putting their stuff on Disney Plus, and it's creating a hole in their content sourcing pipeline. And the interesting thing will be who will actually fill that gap. And I think it's to the point I was making earlier, I think it's independent producers that suddenly have one of the largest opportunities in front of them that has existed in a really long time.
Thank you, Ivar. Any follow-up questions from you, Jason, before we close?
No, it's really thorough. Thanks so much, Ivar.
My pleasure. It was a real pleasure talking to you, and I look forward to hopefully seeing you soon.
All right. Thank you both. Thank you, Jason. Thank you, Ivar, for the time and sharing your experience and knowledge. Really appreciate it.